I know Paul looked forward to it. He wanted to be there, but the Lord, while he was on earth, brought him back to the reality that I know it is better to be with me, Paul. I know you know this. It would be better for you. It would be great for you to come and be with me. But he said, but right now it's better that you stay on earth because I got a job for you. I got some things for you to manage. And Paul did that faithfully. So just praise God for that. When we're going to get to heaven, you know, just folks, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to see folks that just went on before us, brothers and sisters in Christ, just to be able to get there in glory. And yes, we're going to bow before our Savior. We're going to worship Him for all eternity. But I believe there's going to be a sweet reunion time too. I believe we're going to be able to see those faithful ones that have gone through and passed on and are now there with rejoicing with Him. I'm looking forward to seeing my dad. I think of my dad a lot. I miss my dad all the time, but I'm thankful that one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to give my dad a hug. I believe I'll be able to recognize my dad. I believe we're going to worship Jesus together. And I believe, my dear folks, that my dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, that makes it all that much better to think about what it's going to be like, doesn't it? Just to meditate on the preciousness of heaven. And boy, the people we're going to, not only the loved ones we're going to see, but by God's grace, we'll be able to see the people that we've been able to lead to Christ. People that we've been able to impact. Sister Kay, I think about some of those ladies in the jail that you and Cassie have been able to lead to the Lord over these past months. And you're going to be able to see them in glory. I think about these people that we've been able to see saved over the years, even through this church ministry, that you're going to see in glory because you've given of yourselves and you've given of your finances to send missionaries to preach the gospel. And, oh, my friends, I know sometimes we can get weary down here on earth. But, my friend, we will see one day it will be worth it all. Every ounce of energy, every pain, every failure, just working through those things, it will be worth it all. And I am looking forward to that time that we get to be with our Jesus, our Savior. And boy, I'm telling you what, it just gets sweeter as you think about that. And I don't think the Lord wanted us to get in such a hurry where we got so heavenly minded where we were no earthly good. But I do believe He wants us to be heavenly minded. And thinking about the sweetness of glory and eternity. Oh, where there is no sin, no fight in the flesh. Oh, boy, won't that be a blessing? No fight in the flesh. Can you imagine not having to fight off those thoughts? Not having to fight against the flesh that wants to get angry and wants to get sinful and wants to think this way or that way or respond that way. Oh, my dear friend, there won't be any battles against that. I am looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward that there'll be no more opportunity for the devil to attack me. You think about heaven, my friend. You think about the devil. He will not be able to attack you at all. You will be in complete protection of the Lord God. And we are now here on earth. But why here on earth? We are on a cursed earth. And an earth that I'll tell you what, I know there's the old song, and it's cute, says, God's got the whole world in His hands. Well, in some way, we know that speaks of His sovereignty, but I want to tell you something. I'll tell you who's got the world in their hands, and that's Satan. Because you know, the Bible says he is the god of this world. He's the one is ruling many of what's going on. God is ruling His kingdom, of course. He's moving His people, His church. He is in control. He's not out of control. But I tell you what we're going to mention tonight in Daniel chapter 12, you can go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 12, Satan is going to battle to the very end. He's going to battle to the very end. And we're going to see that picking up in Daniel chapter 12. We're going to continue our study. We're not going to get very far tonight. And that's on purpose. I just want to look at one aspect of this chapter, and the very first part of verse 1, we'll dive in a little deeper in the days ahead. We will get through the book of Daniel, I'm sure of it. And we're at chapter 12, so there's only 13 verses in this chapter, and we'll keep working our way. By the way, that reminds me, I hope that if you're aware of, if you're not, we can get you the information, but the faithful Bible reading plan, boy, I've been enjoying that, reading through Genesis and Isaiah and Romans. It's been a blessing. Anybody else going through with this? And there's a few, good many of you. Hadn't it been neat to be able to read through and just how God is speaking? And if you say, well, I didn't really know about that, or actually, Brent, I feel kind of bad about that because I was going to start but just forgot about it. Well, don't worry about it. Just pick up where you left off, or just pick up on the day of this month. What's today? The 28th. You still got 3 or 4 days, or if you just wanted to pick up in February, this plan, I believe, has worked out to where there is some buffer days. And just pick up and begin to read. I really like this because usually I've been the typical Genesis Matthew, just following along with that. But this has been neat to go to Genesis, to Romans, and then go straight to Isaiah. I'm just enjoying that. So I hope you'll be in the Word, whether it's this plan or just some sort of Bible reading. Well, we want to be good stewards of the Word of God. All right, there in Daniel chapter 12, it says here, we'll just read verse 1, Daniel here in chapter 12, verse 1. We see here that we've been studying that this is a time of tribulation. It's a vision that's given by Gabriel, and it's chapters 10, 11, and 12. So this is still the ongoing vision from Gabriel unto Daniel. And the vision is starting to wrap up here. And we know that in the context, as we discussed last time, that we are in the tribulation time, the Antichrist, who we read about in verse 45, that there is going to come a time where it's going to come to his end and there's not going to be any help. Well, it's going to transition right into chapter 12, and we're going to see here a parallel passage in just a minute. All right. And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at thy and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Let's pray. Father, I do just want to praise you for the sweet spirit in our service tonight. Lord, we do come before you as needy people. Lord, I'm asking that you would do an internal, eternal work even tonight as you draw us closer to yourself. Lord, help us to understand your word. Illumine our minds, O God, and our hearts toward you and this matter of Lord God, the battles that are raging all around us. And Lord, even in this time of tribulation, as we see, God, let us learn how we can apply this to our lives even today. January the 28th in 2018, God, help us to know how we can best be used of you. I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see here the very first part of verse 12. Excuse me, verse 1, chapter 12. Read there again. It says, and that's a continuation from verse 45. So we're still in the context of the great tribulation that will come as the Antichrist is seeking to have control, but he's met with lots of rebellion, will eventually be met by King Jesus. But it says here, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, you'll remember Michael is the nation of Israel's protector. He is their guardian angel, if you will. When you see in the context of angels protecting Israel, you can always go and guarantee that it's going to be talking about Michael, the archangel here. He's going to give protection to the nation of Israel. That's why it says that which standeth for the children of thy people. Well, who's Gabriel talking about there to Daniel? He's talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. And he says there shall be a time of trouble, all right? Now, he goes on to talk about now the great tribulation.
And it's going to be as bad as it ever has been. But I'm thankful that as bad as it can get, we even see light of hope here that says, but it says here, and thy people shall be delivered. At that time, there will be deliverance, as bad as it may be, but it will be to a certain group. It will be deliverance for the people that are found written in the book. I want us to concentrate on that first part of verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Go over to Revelation chapter 12. Hold your spot there in Daniel chapter 12. And go over to the parallel passage of Revelation chapter 12, please. Revelation chapter 12. Now, Michael enters the scene because he sees and has the green light from God Almighty, but he sees the children of Israel are in great trouble. And the judgment that is coming upon the children of Israel, I will remind you, was coming from God Himself. What was the purpose of the tribulation? Always keep that in mind in the context of things. Why would the wrath of God come upon this world during this time and the way it did? Well, I'll tell you why. God is still trying to get His people to come to Him. He's still trying to win them. He's still trying to convince them and to draw them to Himself. And He's using judgment to do it. But there's deliverance even within that judgment. And look there in Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon? The dragon is Satan. This is a war in heaven that is raging. And this is in the context, you'll see here in just a moment, that this is a heavenly war, but it's going to be an earthly war not for long. It will be an earthly war during that tribulation. And it says, and the dragon fought, and his angels. This is a great demonic, angelic war here. The war of evil, the good and evil. And we see here in verse 8, and prevailed not. He didn't prevail, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now there we see it's an exit time. It's time for the devil to go. He does not prevail. He cannot prevail against the archangel. And then verse 9, look. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So we see here that the parallel passage in Daniel chapter 12, when Michael stood up, we see that this is the description of that battle. Him standing up against the evil one because of what is going to be breaking loose on earth. And it says here in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He didn't prevail against Michael. He was cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. That's why we refer to the devil as the accuser. He's still the accuser, by the way. Can I remind you of that, friends? I was just talking to somebody recently. And I have to remind myself of this, that is a characteristic of the devil. He will accuse you all day long of things that you have done. Perhaps against the Lord and sin or whatever. He's the accuser. He's the accuser to make you feel unimportant to God and make you feel betrayed of God. And he tries to do those things, but he's a liar. He's a deceiver. I heard somebody say one time, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And I tell you one thing, that's what we ought to do. And I appreciate what a sister told me recently. Every time that the devil would come and try to tempt her and accuse her, she would pipe up and say, I am a blood-bought child of God and Satan. There's nothing you can do with me. And that is what we have to realize, he is accuser of the brethren, but we can hold up against that. And look what he says here in verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, verse 12, please look with me. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. All right, this is the crowd that's in glory. And the church is there, I believe, at this time. And there's rejoicing. And he says, ye that dwell in them, woe. Now, wait a minute. There was rejoicing. Now there's woeing. What's going on? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth. Now, please do not lose this, church. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, you know, the devil understands that his time is short. The devil understands his time is short, especially in this context right now. And I believe it is specifically talking about the nation of Israel on earth during the tribulation. That is the context of, I believe, these chapters here. It's specifically talking about the Jewish people. And there will be some that are saved, that stay with God and believe in Him. And their names are written in the book that we see. But one of the things we see here very clearly, dear church, that I just wanted to bring to our attention tonight to remind us, is that Satan is going to do everything he can to deceive this world from understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the logical conclusion to that? If Satan knows his time is short, and he knows his time's coming to an end, he knows that King Jesus is going to be the final victor, and in the meantime, he's going to try to bring everybody he can to eternal damnation. So what does the church of the living God do in understanding that context? We get busy in winning souls to Jesus. If Satan is out to deceive the people of our community, if he is out trying to win, he is winning. Do you know, you know that he's trying to win souls too? The devil himself is a soul winner. You better believe he is. He's winning them to stay lost. Unless the church of the living God gets on fire with the Holy Ghost power and seeks to get out and penetrate the darkness and share the gospel with lost people and seek to show them the love and compassion of Christ, I'm telling you what, we don't believe it. I don't believe we understand and believe that the fact that the devil knows and his time is short and that he's going to try to win everybody he can, because if we're not careful, we'll get in twiddle our thumbs mentality. But I see here in this passage, dear friends, and I hope you see it with me, that this is a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. He says right here that these people in heaven knew that his wrath was coming down upon the earth. He was going down. He said, thank God he's not up here accusing anymore. But I'm telling you what, you folks down on earth, the wrath of Satan is about to come upon you. And he's going to deceive, and he's going to try to bring as many as he can with him. But the Bible says Satan knows that his time is short. Now, here's what I want to know. And this is a question for Brinson Jennings as well as for all of us. If Satan has enough spiritual sense to know that his time is short and he's going to go out and deceive as many, What is the logical conclusion of the child of God who believes his time is short? It's to get out and to shine a light to as many as we can. That is the logical conclusion, church. It is a sense of urgency that Satan is out in a race. He's on his way to the lake of fire. He knows it, but he's going to take every chance he can to deceive as many as he can. And by that doctrine and by that truth, I believe the blood-bought child of God ought to pipe up and say, well, bless God, my time is short too. I know my time is short. God says my life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth. Won't be any soul winning in heaven, but I'm telling you what, we're here today. God's got us here for this moment to be stewards of the gospel. Why don't we pray that God give us a sweeping revival to win people to Jesus? A fire in our souls. Listen, I know we talk about the doctrine of Calvinism and speak against it, and I do. I disagree with the doctrine of Calvinism. But I tell you one thing, sometimes we practice the doctrine of Calvinism. We got to guard against that. No, my dear friends, the people that walk by you daily, they are deceived by Satan. And he's laughing because he knows his time is short and he's getting in them as many as he can. But praise God, we ought to be doing this. Uh-uh. No! No! I'm going to fall and break my leg if y'all don't watch it. We ought to be saying, no, no, that's not the way. Let me show you the way. Let me show you the way of Jesus Christ. Let me shine the gospel light unto you. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about this easy believism stuff. I'm not for that. That's dangerous. This 1, 2, 3, pray with me. Okay, go ahead. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about seeking to confront people at the very fact that Satan is after souls. So why aren't we? What are we doing? Our time is short, church. Our time is short. And we got to do something. And we got to do something now. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this truth needs to resonate in our hearts. God, it needs to affect us. It needs to move us to compassion. Our time is short. If the devil knows it and is doing his job, and we know it, but are we doing our job, our ministry? God, would you light a fire in our souls tonight for the souls of men? Please, God. Oh, God. We want to be a true New Testament local church. And we want to be concerned and burdened about the very fact that people are on their way to hell. Lord, may we do everything we can to get in their way, to be a fork in the road to a lost and dying world. With Christians praying, I wonder tonight if we shouldn't as a church make a commitment before the Lord God to say, Lord, I need to be renewed in this area. I've grown cold towards souls. I can't even remember the last time I shared the gospel with someone. I can't even remember. Hey, listen, do you understand? We're talking about urgency here. Our time is short. The devil realizes it. Do we? During the invitation time, I'm going to invite you to kneel down right there at your pew or up here at an altar. But let's ask God to renew our church in this great task of winning people to Christ. Because we know what Satan is seeking to do. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Would you stand with me? Let's be obedient to God's Spirit as the instruments play. Let's pray and ask God to make us the soul-winning church that pleases Him.